All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Welcome to Maseches Me'ilah. Mazel Tov, our shir this morning is dedicated by Yonason and Rachel Wolf of Highland Park, New Jersey, in loving memory of Rachel's mother, Chaya Bas Moshe Zichron Levracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Shem will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. And to thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Elul, Benny Goldberg, for dedicating the shir memory of his parents, Avraham and Asher Pinchas, and Fager Ezel Bas Zelig, and the hope in that all of the suburban mishpacha had their tefillos answered over the Yomim Noraim. Shkoyach, and thank you to Beret. Right, let us begin Maseches Me'ilah, an incredible, incredible, exciting opportunity. We're familiar with the concept of Me'ilah, because the truth is, we spoke about it extensively in Krisos and in Zvachim. The truth is, in all of the Kachim Karbonos, we have somehow referenced Mi'ilah in some way, shape, or form. What I will share with you is an incredible, it's just a kind of b'derech hashkafa to kind of frame this a little bit in terms of just a fascinating insight regarding Mi'ilah. So remember again, we know Mi'ilah means misappropriation of temple property, right? We'll see there are different forms of Mi'ilah. Mi'ilah often results in different forms of liability. Paradigmatic Mi'ilah results in three things, right? If you go in and you take property from the Beis HaMikdash and use it for your own mundane use, there's Keren, you have to repay the principal, Chomesh, the penalty fifth, and an Asham. Again, we'll see not all cases of Mi'ilah bear those liabilities. Actually, today we'll discuss Mi'ilah D'Oraisa. Mi'ilah D'Oraisa and Mi'ilah D'Rabbanan. We'll see that distinction. But the Rambam, actually, in Hilchos Mi'ilah, says something so beautiful. This is a little bit random, and actually happens to be in the middle of the Rambam book, Parak Ches Halacha Ches. So the Rambam writes, I'm going to read to you this. I'll send it out in the WhatsApp afterwards. But it's quite amazing. Listen to what he writes. He says, Roi la'adam lehizboni b'mishpatei ha-Torah ha-kedosha, v'leida sof yonu kifi kocho. The Rambam says a person should really contemplate the mitzvahs in the Torah and understand their full profundity. So the Rambam over here in Hilchos Mi'ilah writes, sometimes there are mitzvahs we don't understand. There are mitzvahs we don't understand. And sometimes when there are things that we don't understand, human nature is we tend to be dismissive of that which we do not understand. And even when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvos, the things I get and I accept, and the things that I don't get, sometimes I'm a bit dismissive and disparaging of. So look at the Rambam, listen to what the Rambam writes. He says, but don't do that. Don't do that. He says, Bo'u re'ei, this is just in the middle of Hilchos Mi'ilah. Bo'u re'ei, kama hechmira Torah b'mi'ilah. He says, for example, look how machmir the Torah is with the concept of Mi'ilah. Uma'im eitzim va'avanim va'afar va'ether. Kevan shenikra shema adon olam aleihem bidavar, bidvarim bilvad, niskachu. V'chala noeg bahem minag chol ma'al ba'ashem. V'afilu hayashogig tzarech kapara. But we'll say, when it comes to Mi'ilah, a person takes a piece of wood which belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and what? And then a person goes ahead and uses that in a mundane way. So what happens? Person needs kapara, even if they did it accidentally. Keren, chomesh, asham, kavachomer, shechaka klamra kadosh baruch hu shal yivat ha'adna bahen, mipnei shalo yadat haman. But say if a piece of wood which belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be vested with so much kiddusha that halacha l'maisa, if you misappropriate and misuse it, you have so many penalties. Imagine the power of mitzvos. Imagine the power of the Dvar Hashem. If a piece of wood given over to the Beis HaMikdash is vested with so much holiness that misappropriation and misuse requires kapara, then imagine the kedusha that every single mitzvah possesses. And therefore, says the Rambam, never be dismissive of a mitzvah, even if you don't understand it. Never be disparaging of a mitzvah, even if for some reason it doesn't appeal to your particular sensitivities or particular outlooks on life. At the end of the day, if the piece of wood has kedusha because it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then how much more a mitzvah has kedusha which emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So I thought just the beautiful truth is you could be mosif on this also, which if a piece of wood has so much kedusha, which ultimately again is belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Kav HaChomer, a mitzvah has so much kedusha because it's from the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then imagine how much kedusha we have who are made B'Tselem Elokim. That's the Kal V'Chomer Ben Benoshel Kal V'Chomer. Imagine the Kedusha that each of us possesses. If a piece of wood, which belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has Kedusha, then man who has a spark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in him, imagine the Kedusha we possess. And I will say with that, let us begin. A beautiful psicha, that's Rambam, Hilchos Mi'ila, Perek Ches, Halacha Ches. I'll send it out a little bit later. Kodesh HaKadosh, I'll say, here we go. Beautiful, beautiful. It's like that exciting new Masechta smell, right? It's, or that might be the old building. I don't know. One of the two, right? Good. So let's go. Kodesh HaKadoshim. Incredible Mishnah. Kodesh HaKadoshim. We'll say, you got to get more excited about this. This is mamish, like you're making your journey through Shas. I'm not going to take a show of hands how many people have learned Mi'ila before. I'm not taking, unless you've done Daf Yomi before. That's, I'm not, but at the end of the day, I will say, what an incredible opportunity. You're seeing parts of Torah that Baruch Hashem, see, if you're right, if you brought your Shas from home, come on, the binding cracked a little bit when you got to Mi'ila this morning, right? And Baruch Hashem, incredible. We're seeing Masechtas that generation ago, a Stam guy would have never even thought he would have ever seen. Incredible. Thank you. Kodesh Kadoshim, Shishach Mudar. We'll say, let's go. So Kodesh Kadoshim. So remember again, we'll say, we've also seen many times before that we have different groupings of karbanos. Kodesh Kadoshim, Kodeshim Katlim. Our topic over here revolves around Kodesh Kadoshim. Chatos, Shlomim, Ola, Shishach Mudarim. You shechted it in the south of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we'll say, so understand, normally the halacha is Kodesh Kadoshim are shechted in the north. That's the halacha. So you shechted Kodesh Kadoshim in the wrong place. What's the halacha? Molin Bahem. Halacha lemaisa, it is subject to Mi'ila. So I'll say, even though you shechted the karban in the wrong place, again, we're going to define the parameters of these halachos, but even though you shechted it in the wrong place, halacha lemaisa, it is still subject to Mi'ila. Shachtan bedaran v'kibol dam v'tzafan. What happens if you shechted it in the south? So remember again, wrong. We're supposed to shecht. If you look at the first Rashi, Rashi says, "Kachet shachtan bedaran v'afagav the dinan lishchat b'tzafon lo yatzu mikidushas l'gabe Mi'ila shanan mehen shaveh pruta mal." So we'll say, so again, even though you shechted it in the wrong place, the carbon itself is still subject to Mi'ila. Case number two. Shachdan bedaran v'kibodam etzafen. If you went ahead and you shechted the karban in the south, not good. But you did kabbalah in the north, which is good. So we'll say, so here shechita was done in the wrong place, kabbalah done in the right place, or betzafen v'kibodam on bedaram, or reverse. I shechted it in the north, which is good, and did kabbalah in the south, which is not good, or shachat bayom v'zarak balayla, or abos I did the shechita by day. But the zrika, the sprinkling of the blood by night, or balayla v'zarak bayom, I shechted it at night and sprinkled the blood by day. Oh, sheshachton chutz lizmanon v'chutz limkomon, or Rabbi said, I shechted the karban outside of its prescribed time or outside of its prescribed place. In all of these cases, the Mishnah says ma'alin b'hem. The karban is subject to Mi'ila, which Rabbi said, what the Mishnah effectively is teaching me, that what? Even if I did something, quote unquote, illegal in the carbonic process, the carbon itself, although it may not be valid as a carbon anymore, halacha lemaisa will still be subject to Mi'ila. Again, we obviously have to discuss the parameters of this. So the Gemara says, Klal, Amar Rabbi Yeshua. So Yeshua says as follows. Kol shahaya l'shas heter l'kohanim a molin b'han. So Rabbi Yeshua adds in a klal. Now again, this klal is interesting because we'll see whether or not the klal, how the klal fits to the previous cases. But Rabbi Yeshua says as follows. Any karban that had a shas heter l'kohanim, which Rabbi Yeshua means, if the karban reached a state where it is permitted for consumption by the kohanim, even if something subsequently occurred which disqualified it, it is no longer subject to Mi'ila. Let me actually strike that last line. Once the carbon becomes permitted for consumption for Kohanim, it is no longer subject to Mi'ila. That's what Yeshua is saying. So again, once it's permitted for consumption for Kohanim, even the Gabbos HaMenepi can be permitted for consumption of anyone else, it is not subject to Mi'ila. The Chol Shaloha Yela Shas Hetra LeKohanim, but any time the carbon did not reach or will not have a point in time in which it is permitted for consumption by Kohanim, Mo'alin Ba. At that point, in Halacha Lamaisa, it is subject to Mi'ila. Ezohi Shahayala Shas Hetla Kohanim. So we'll say, what's an example? So give me an example of this. Oh, I'll give you an example. Shalana Vishenitma Vishayatza. So we'll say an example. An example would be, let's say, Nosar. So we'll say, what's talacha with Nosar? So he sacrificed a carbon, everything's going great. What's Nosar? You leave it over past the prescribed time. Now we'll say, now in order for something to become Nosar, it means that what? It was permitted to the Kohanim, but it wasn't consumed within the appropriate, within the sanctioned window. It's left over. So we'll say, so that would be an example of Rabbi Yeshua's klal, where something that became Nosar would what? Would not be subject to Mi'ila. Why? Because since it was permitted for consumption by the Kohanim, therefore again no longer subject to Mi'ila. Nitma'a. The carbon becomes permitted for consumption, then becomes tame. So remember again, when a carbon becomes tame, there are other isurim of tuma. But lamaisa, once it became permitted for consumption, halacha lamaisa, it is not subject to mi'ila. Or shiyatza, or if you have a carbon which was taken out of the proper area for a carbonic consumption, again, once it became permitted for consumption for the Kohen, halacha lemaisa, it is no longer subject to Me'ila. So we're going to say in all of these cases that this carbon will be Aser, right? It might be Aser because of Nosar, or it might be Aser because of Tuma, or it might be Aser because of Yitzia, right? Of Chutz. But at the end of the day, halacha lemaisa, it will not become Aser als Nosar. The Ezi Shiloh Haisel Shas Heter. And what's an example of something which did not have a Shas Heter, something which did not have a window of permitted consumption by Kohanim, shenishchita chutz lizmano. So, for example, I'll say a carbon which was shechted outside of its correct time. Again, we'll define all of these cases. Chutz limkoma, or outside of its correct place, or v'shekiblu psulin v'zarku estama, or ultimately, again, somebody who is pasul. Rashi points out there, for example, Bali Mumin. For example, Kohanim were Bali Mumin, and they did Kabbalah and Zriga. So we'll say, in all these cases, what happened? The psul and the carbon was already from when? Was already from when? At the Shas Shechita. Once it's at the Shas Shechita, that means there was no time in which the carbon was permitted. If there's no time in which the carbon was permitted, therefore, again, I should say, no time in which the carbon was permitted in consumption to the Kohanim, and therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, subject to Mi'ila. Beautiful. So we'll say, let's analyze. Katani, kadshe kadashim sheshachtan bedarim molin bohem. So we'll say, the Mishnah begins with a statement that if you shachted kadshe kadashim bedarim in the south of the Beis HaMikdash, they are subject to Mi'ila. To which the Gemara says, Pshita, I mean, why would you think otherwise? And we'll say, just because a carbon ultimately, again, may have elements of it that are sacrificially invalid, why would you assume that it's not subject to Mi'ila? In other words, what the Gemara is saying is like this, just because a carbon may not be carbonically effective, doesn't change the fact that what? Right? That what? Mi'ila is a function of what? Misuse of? Temple property. So even though halacha lemaisa, again, this carbon may not be sacrificially good, at the end of the day, it is obviously belonging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So, of course, it's going to be subject to Mi'ila, even if you shecht it in the wrong place. To which the Gemara says, Mishum deshechtinon, bidaram afkinon midei Mi'ila. I don't understand, because you shecht it in the wrong place, do you actually think that it's not subject to Mi'ila? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why we need the case. Sagadait Chamina, both is actually quite interesting. And we're going to spend some time on this. You can see over here, quotes from Daf Yud Beis. Hoil va'amar ula amar Rabbi Yochanan, kadshim shemesu. But it's an interesting case. If you have a carbon that died, not that was slaughtered, not that was shechted, the carbon just died, what's the halacha? Yatsu midei mi'ila dvar Torah. So halacha l'maisa mida'oraisa, if a carbon dies, it is no longer subject to Mi'ila. But if you look at Rashi, second wide line in Rashi, Kachim Shemesu Yatsim Idei Mi'ila Dvar Torah, Ava Midrabanan, Isluhu Mi'ila Kid Isla Kamana. So Rashi kind of gives us coming attractions over here. We're going to see that Midoraisa, if a carbon dies, so ultimately, again, now subject to Mi'ila. We'll see the reason for that. Rashi's just pointing out, although we're going to develop this later on in the sugya, it's not subject to Mi'ila Midoraisa, but we're going to see it is subject to Mi'ila Midrabanan. So why is that important for us? So watch this. So says the Gemara, Hachinami, Kadshe Kadoshim Legabe Darum, Kima Dechankinun Damin. So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that when you shecht Kadshe Kadoshim in the south, maybe that's the equivalent of what? Of the animal dying without Shechita. Literally, Kima Dechankinun means it's as if you strangled the animal. In other words, I might have thought that halacha lemaisa, an animal shechted in the wrong place, halachically is the equivalent of what? Of what? Dying. Of an animal that just died, that just died. And what's the halacha with an animal that just died? What's the halacha? Not subject to me'ilah. Therefore, the havamina is, I would have thought that an animal shechted in the south of the Beis HaMikdash is like an animal that died and not subject to me'ilah either. Kamashmala, no. Kamashmala, that's not the case. Kamashmala, that halacha l'maisa. They ultimately, again, are two different cases. Why? Kachm shemesu lo chazu klau. Because they both say, when a sacrificial animal dies, it's not fit for anything. It's unusable for anything. Aval darim. Nehi de'eno rai l'kachay kadoshim. Aval ra'ui hu l'kachay kalim. So they both say, here's the difference. When your sacrificial animal dies, there is no sacrificial animal which dies which is fit for the Mizbeach. Right? If it dies, it's done. However, shechting in the south is, in general, both say, is karbonically problematic only for what? Kachay kadoshim. But kachim kalim are shechted in the south. Which I will say is another way of seeing like this. The act of shechting a carbon in the south may not be appropriate for this particular carbon, but you cannot claim that it is totally and wholly carbonically inappropriate. So because of that, the act of shechting even kachay kadoshim in the south, although this particular carbon will not be good, still leaves the animal with a vestige of carbonic identity. And because of that, therefore, it is still subject to me'ilah. Incredible. So we'll say, so that's point number one. So point number one, the Gemara is telling me, is the opening statement of the Mishnah, that if you shecht kachay kadoshim in the south, that they are subject to Mila, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that shechting a carbon in the wrong place is not the equivalent of the animal dying on its own. If a carbon dies on its own, we'll say, now we've established, what's the halacha? Not subject to mi'ilah, at least midorai. Some midrabanan we'll talk about. So I might have thought that, again, shechting in the south should be the same thing as the animal dying on its own. Kamashal, not like that. Kamashmalon, when it's shechted in the south, wrong for this carbon, but still, again, in the parsha of carbonos, and therefore, although the animal will be sacrificially unfit for its intended purpose, halacha lemaisa, it will be still subject to mi'ilah. In other words, I remember, being subject to mi'ilah means what? Means what? You retain a level of sanctified identity. Remember, if you don't have sanctified identity, you're not subject to me'ilah. That's why, again, that's part of the whole thing. That's why once the carbon becomes permitted to the Kohanim, it becomes food. It becomes food. Once it becomes food, therefore what? It's not subject to me'ilah. So all of these concepts are tied together. Good. Says the Gemara. Lama le misnei kohani. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. The Mishnah goes through a whole bunch of cases, and the bottom line of all the cases is the same thing, which is what? Even if you did some part of the carbonic process inappropriately, in which case the carbon is really not fit as a carbon anymore, it is still what? Subject to mi'ilah. And we had a whole bunch of those cases, right? We started out with shechting in the south, Kabbalah in the north. Shechting in the north, Kabbalah in the south. Shechting at night, sprinkling by day. Shechting by day, sprinkling at night. So all these different cases. And we'll say the bottom line is the same, which is what? Even if you did something sacrificially illegal, nevertheless, or I should say carbonically illegal, right? Yeah, sacrificially illegal. Nevertheless, the carbon itself is still subject to mi'ilah. To which the Gemara says, why do you have to, thank you, all the cases are very interesting, but why do you have to give me all the cases? Just illustrate it with one case and I'll understand the concept. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you. Lama le misnei kohani, why do you need all these cases? Here we go, but it's actually really great. Tzrichi, I need all of them. Really great, it is. Really great. Tzrichi, itana shachtan bedarum v'kibol daman b'tzafon. So we'll say, listen to this. Because if it would have just said the first case, of where you shechted the animal in the south, and you did Kabbalah in the north, right? I would have said, ultimately, again, the reason why that carbon is subject to me'ilah is why? Because Rabbi will say, in that case, so remember again, Rabbi will say, what's the ikar, ultimately, again, of carbon? What's the ikar? Zrika, right? So Zrika Kabbalah are often like looked at as one, even though they're two avodas. But so I would have thought like this: when an animal is shechted in the south, which is wrong, but you did Kabbalah in the north, so Kabbalah, which is the precursor to the most important avoda of Zrika, so if you did that appropriately, okay, I understand why the animal, essentially, what you're telling me is the animal is still a carbon and it's subject to Megillah. I understand that case. But if the Mishnah would not have taught me the case of where you shechted in the north and did Kabbalah in the south, so I will say now I'm doing Kabbalah in the wrong place. Shechita happened in the right place, but Kabbalah is happening in the wrong place. I would have said, Hovel v'kibel b'darim hu, nafik midei mi'ila. I would have said, since Kabbalah was done in the wrong place, therefore what? The animal is not subject to mi'ila. And therefore I will say what? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, the ha Kabbalah b'darim hu, dehi ikr avoda. Kabbalah is the ikr avoda. Now I will say, the truth is, really what they're saying, it's really zrika, which is the ikr, which is, but you can't do zrika without what? Kabbalah. So therefore, Kabbalah becomes the ikra avoda. So again, had the Mishnah just taught me a case of where I shechted in the south and did Kabbalah in the north, I would have said, okay, that's where the animal is still subject to me'ila. Why? 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 Because at least you did Kabbalah, /zrika, in the right place. But in a case where you did shechita b'tzafen, where you did shechita in the right place, but Kabbalah b'drum, Kabbalah in the wrong place, I would have said that that animal is not subject to me'ila. Therefore, the Mishnah has to include that second case as well, of where you do shechita b'tzafen and Kabbalah b'darim. Next, v'itana hai. And if it would have just said this case, or if it really the hagosin changed to hani, v'itana hani. And if it would have just said the first two cases, right, first two cases, then havamina yamama zman hakravahu. So I would say, I would just like this. In general, karbanos, not in general, karbanos are only shechted at night. Right, only shechted and offered at night. So I would have said like this. Daytime, I'm sorry, daytime, thank you. So karbanos are shechted by day. So I would have said, Yimama zman hakravahu, daytime is the time when you offer up a karban. Aval shechta balayla, but if you shechted a karban at night, vizarak bayom, and you did zvika by day, layla lav zman hakravah, v'hai d'shachat balayla. So I would have said like this. So in a case where you shechted at night and did zvika by day, so shechting at night, nighttime, is not the time for karbanos. Not the time for karbanos. So layla lav zman hakravah, v'hai d'shachat balayla, ema d'nafik midei mi'ila. I would have said that what? I would have said that halacha l'maisa, in the case where you shech the animal at night and did zvika by day, once you shech the night, you're both saying, this isn't even a karban. This isn't even a carbon. And therefore, if it's not a carbon, it's not subject to me'ila. So therefore, again, vitana. So therefore, again, I have to include that case. The Mishnah has to include the case of shachta balayla, vizarka bayom. I did shechita at night, zrika by day. And the Mishnah teaches me, even that animal is still subject to me'ila. Vitana shachta balayla. And if it would have just told me the case of where I shechted the animal at night, hava mina hoyo v'kibel dama. Bayom is be me'ila. So we'll say, and if we'd have just said that case of shachta balayla vizarka bayom, I would have said, okay, you know why that animal is subject to me'ila? Because at least what? You did zrika by day. Zrika, which is the ikra avoda, you did it by day. Aval, shachton bayom vizarak daman balayla. But we'll say a case where you shechted the carbon by day, but did zrika by night. Hovil v'lav zman akravahu, kiman dechan kinun dami, v'lo ispu me'ila. We'll say in a case where you shechted by day and did zrika at night, I will say, Mamish Zrika is the ikar, and you did it by night. I might have thought that that is the equivalent of what? That's the equivalent of just an animal that died on its own, or an animal that was strangled, i.e. it's not carbonic in nature, and therefore not subject to me'ila. Kamach Shuelan, that is not the case. Therefore, I will say, Halacha L'maisa, the Gemara successfully demonstrates why each of the stated cases is absolutely necessary, because you could not have learned out one from the other. Each case has its own unique aspect, which could not have been derived from the one before it. But bottom line, the common theme which runs through all of the cases is, even if you did something sacrificially inappropriate, which may technically render the animal carbonically unfit, in other words, I can't do the rest of the avoda with this animal, as we're going to see in a little bit, nevertheless, halacha lemaisa, the animal will still be subject to me'ila. That's the bottom line take-home message over here. So we'll say, again, we before we open up Maseches Me'ila, if I were to ask you, when is a carbon subject to me'ila, you of course would have said when? Exactly, when it's kosher. Very good. Right, thank you for coming. Right, when it's kosher, right? So we'll say, so therefore again, the Mishnah kind of blows the lid off that And the Mishnah says that no, in fact, even when a karban is actually not totally fit for use, it still retains karbanic identity. And as long as it maintains karbanic identity, halacha lemaisa, it is subject to me'ilah. That's the major novelty so far. Good. Chutz lizmano v'chutz limkomo l'may chazu. So I'll say, here's what's interesting. So remember again, the Mishnah also gave the case of where a person shechted a karban outside of its appropriate time. So if you have a time-bound karban, and halacha l'maaseh, you go ahead and you shecht it outside of its appropriate time, or chutz limkomo, or you consume it for that matter. So the Gemara says, "Lamai chazu, what is this? What is this fit for?" Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi will give us a good background on this. It's the second to last Rashi on the daf, about five lines up from the bottom. Chutz lizmano v'chutz limkomo lamai chazu kilomar kol hani detani b'masnisin. I will say all the cases that are listed in the Mishnah, bedinhu demolin b'hem. So I will say I understand why they are subject to me'ilah. To hide the shachtan b'daram roi l'kachim kalim. Because we'll say, interestingly enough, as we're going to see in all the different cases in the Mishnah, although you did something karbanically inappropriate for kachay kadoshim, there are aspects over here that apply to other karbanos. So, for example, even though I shechted kachay kadoshim in the south, which is wrong for kachay kadoshim, but at the end of the day, what? It's fine for kachim kalim. So therefore, I understand that although I did something wrong for kachay kadoshim, it won't take away the me'ilah status from the kachay kadoshim. The Gemara says, "Kidamin leil v'shachat balayla nami o zarak balayla dinhu demolin bohen." The laila lav mechoser zman, and about say even shechita at night, zrika at night, which is normally karbanically inappropriate, the Gemara says over here it'll store because they're not mechoser zman. We're going to explain what that means later on. Ella shachat amnas lahaktir chutz lizmano o chutz limkom. So we'll say, so the common denominator. This is very important, and this is kind of what the Gemara was trying to articulate before. The common denominator amongst all the cases in the Mishnah is like this: I did something karbanically inappropriate by kodshei kadoshim. But my act is not totally outside of the realm of sacrificial law. In other words, there are things that I did something inappropriate for this particular karban, but halacha lemaisa, the things that I did are not totally foreign to karbanos. They apply in different ways to different karbanos, whether it's shechting in the south, or shechting in the south, or even doing things at night. Again, we'll get into all of this. But ask the Gemara, I don't understand this last case. Ela shachat amenas lahakti chutz lizmano. I'm reading Rashi first of the bottom wide lines. But if you shechted on the condition to go ahead and offer up the carbon outside of the appropriate time, o chutz limkomo, or outside of the appropriate place, lemaychazya hashchita demolin ba ha pigol havi v'lo chazu imurin lo gavoa v'lo baser lo kohanim v'lo havu kadshim reuim klal va'amay molimer. So we'll say, listen to this. So you want to ask an incredible kasha. So we'll say, in all the other cases, again, just so we're holding in this, you know, we'll say, you know, the exciting part about this gemara is we'll see, as much as it's kachim, you could hold kap in these gemaras because the progression is very clear, hopefully. So we'll say, so you understand, the gemara's point over here is, in the cases in the Mishnah, I did something inappropriate vis-a-vis this particular karban, but I didn't do something that is totally outside of the pale of sacrificial law. In a case, however, where you shecht the karban, and your intention is to what? Your intention is to eat it outside of the prescribed time, or to eat it outside of the prescribed place. So what does that do? That makes it pigul. Pigul renders the karban fundamentally unfit from the beginning. You mean, what can you do with the pigul karban? What can you do with the pigul karban? Nothing. Right, you destroy it. Right, bury it. There's nothing to do with it. You can't offer the limbs on the mizbeach. The meat does not become permitted for the kohanim. So the Gemara asks, in that case, why would the carbon be subject to mi'ilah? Right, I will say again, it's the model, the framework we're developing is, even if you do something sacrificially wrong, the carbon could be subject to mi'ilah as long as what? As long as your actions are kind of within the rubric, within the framework of sacrificial law. If you do something totally michutz lamachana, it's not even a karban anymore. You do this over here, it becomes pigul. Once it becomes pigul, then why would it be subject to milah? So the Gemara gives a fascinating answer. Chutz lizmano, chutz lamkomo, lamai chazu. Hoil umiratzin lipigulin. So we'll say this is wild. So hoil umiratzin lipigulin means what? So we'll say look at Rashi. Rashi, it's the last two words in the daf, and it goes on to Amud Beis. Hoil umiratzin lipigulin kilomar. Turn the page. Kilomar hoil vayshchita spigul chashiva kulihai de la olam lo mikvah lipigul lechayvukaris achi yikrevu. Matir shizak adam. So we'll say. So again, we're going to get into this more later on, but essentially the Gemara says that since this act works to confer upon it a pigul status, and pigul status is in and of itself a part of sacrificial law, therefore what? It is subject to me'ilah. So we'll say, so this is actually such an incredible answer. So the Gemara's kasha was, why should this animal be subject to me'ilah? Why should this animal be subject to me'ilah? After all, it's become pigul, right? It doesn't, nothing's fit, nothing's appropriate, nothing can be offered, nothing can be consumed. To which the Gemara says, because the status of pigul is what? Is a sacrificial status as well. And once something is a sacrificial status, therefore, halacha lemaisa, it is subject to mi'ilav. Look at Rashi one more time. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, shechting something, even though it is in a state of pigul, is so significant. The olam lo mikvah bepigul lechayv okaris. The Chayvan does Vika Chashuva Kolkach. So I will say, so ultimately, you know, what Rashi is pointing out over here is something only becomes Pigal when, not just when the Shechita for Pigal, but also when the Zrika is done for the sake of Pigal. So I will say, so essentially, this is incredible. As much as Pigal renders you unfit, that unfit status still falls within the carbonic and sacrificial rubric. And so because of that, it will be subject to Ni'ilo. Quite incredible. We're gonna expound on that more. The Gemara is not finished with that concept. Ibailu, so we'll say, going back there. Ibailu, incredible, incredible Gemara now. Ibailu, Mao Sheyerdu. We'll say, watch this. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ibailu, Had the Tani b'mas nisin d'shina b'hen kigon sheshacha b'dar mishkel b'dar. So we'll say, so now the Gemara is asking a generic question on all of the cases in the Mishnah. So we'll say, the common denominator in the case of the Mishnah is, what did you do? You were Mishana. You deviated. Carbon is supposed to be offered a particular way, right? You deviated, you changed something. Whether you changed geographic location, you changed time of day, whatever it is, you did something different. So we'll say, and I did one of these different things. So we'll say, so again, let's take up a step back for just a moment. Easy case. I take Kachi Kadashim. Where Kachi Kadashim is supposed to be shechted? In the north. In the north. Instead, what did I do? I shechted it in the south. So we'll say, so now what do I do with that carbon? What do I do with that carbon? Let me say differently. What don't I do with that carbon? Bringing on the Mizbeach. Now, what I do with it, we'll discuss. But one thing that's clear is, once you mess up some element of the sacrificial order, you obviously don't offer it up as a carbon. You don't offer it up as... So again, remember, that's not our topic in the Mishnah. Our topic in the Mishnah is it or when is it subject to Me'ilah? But one thing is clear, which is at the end of the day, it is not subject to... It is not offered up on the Mizbeach. What happens if you put it up? What happens if I say, if you shechted it in the south, you did Kabbalah and Zrika in the north, and then what happens if you did Kabbalah in the north, do Zrika, and then you put the limbs on the Mizbeach. You did it. You put it on the Mizbeach, right? You did it. So what's the Shaila? What's the Shaila? Do you have to take it off or not? The Shaila is, once you put it on, do you have to take it off? So the Gemara says, if it went on, if you put it on, do you have to take it off or not? Look at Rashi. So we'll say, I wasn't supposed to put these limbs on the Mizbeach, but if I did, do I have to take it down? Machlokes. Rabba Amar im alu yerdu. So Rabba says, if they went up, you have to take them down. Rav Yosef Amar im alu lo yerdu. Rav Yosef says, no, if you put them on, in other words, you shouldn't put them on, but if you did, what's the halacha? You don't have to take them down. To which the Gemara Salibid Rabbi Huda lo tibay lecha. We'll say, according to Rabbi Huda, we'll see what Rabbi Huda was describing in just a moment. According to Rabbi Huda, there's no shilas, right? We don't have to worry. Dichol amalo pligi dim alu yerdu. We'll say Rabbi Huda l'shitas. We'll see Rabbi Huda l'shitas in just a moment. Is anytime you put on the mizbeach something that is sacrificially invalid, you take it down, you take it off. So everyone agrees, according to Rabbi Huda, that even if you put it on, you take it off. Look at Rashi for just a moment. I'll leave with Rabbi Huda. Rashi says, Da'amar Hassan Parakam is Beach Mekadesh. Zosia Ola Hare Elo Gimel Mi'utin Parat L'Shenishbach Dama L'Shelana Sheyatza Shim Alu Yirta. So also, without getting into the substance over here, Rabbi Huda's Shita is that any time you have a problem in the carbon, whether it's that the blood spilled and you never got to do Zrika, or some other disqualification, if you put the limbs on the Mizbeach, then what? You must take them down. So Rabbi Huda's Shita is clear. Keep Ligi, where does the Machlokes come up? Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. So we'll say the Machlokes comes up on Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon ultimately disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon says that as much as a carbon may be disqualified and should not be offered, if you put it on the Mizbeach, you leave it there. Let it stay there. Right? Let it stay there. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, Krib Shimon. So Rabbi Yosef who holds that if it goes on the Mizbeach, right, if it goes on the Mizbeach, leave it. He holds like Krib Shimon. However, Rabbah will say to you, so also remember, Rabbah is the opinion who says that if you put the unkosher, right, the non-kosher carbon on the Mizbeach, you have to take the limbs off. So Rabbah will say no. Amar lecha, ad kan lo kam Rib Shimon, Ella binitanin lamata shenaslan lamala. O binitanin lamala shenaslan lamata. So we'll say, so Rabbi says, no. When does Rav Yosef say that if you took a carbon that should not be offered on the Mizbeach and you put it on the Mizbeach, that's what? That you could leave it there? That's in a very specific case where what did you do? You sprinkled the blood in the wrong location. Also remember again, the Mizbeach has the Chut HaSikra, has a red line. There are some carbonos which require blood applications above the line, some which require blood applications below the line. Rav Yosef says, if you messed up on the placement of your blood applications, you shouldn't offer the carbon. But, if you did, what's the halacha? Leave it. That's when Rav Yosef said, that if you went ahead and you took, we'll call it an inappropriate carbon, and you put it on Mizbeach, that you leave it. However, the olam deshachtan v'kibol daman b'tzafon. About, so I will say, that's talking about a case where what? Where the Shechita and Kabbalah were all done correctly. You messed up on a very nuanced detail about blood placement, right? You even got the Zrika, right? In other words, the Zrika is being done on the Mizbeach. You got the blood placement wrong, above the line, below the line. That's what Yosef says, if you put the limbs on the Mizbeach, then what? You can leave them there. However, Aval Hacha, but in our case of the Mishnah, Kevan deshachtan bedarim. I will say, but maybe Rav Yosef would hold that when you shecht the animal in the wrong place, you shechted it in the south instead of the north. What's the halacha? Keman dechan kinan dami. Ultimately, again, it should be like what? It should be like the animal died or was strangled. And therefore, even Rav Yosef would agree in this case that what? That if you placed the limbs on the Mizbeach, what's the halacha? Take it down. So I will say, so again, so therefore, Rabbah jumps in and wants to say that you don't try to align Rav Yosef. Don't try to align Rav Yosef with Rav Shimon, because it could be Rav Shimon would not agree in this particular case. So again, therefore, we still stand in with the machlokes between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Namely, in any of the cases of the Mishnah, where let's say you did something carbonically inappropriate, and therefore again, if you were to ask the Shaila, what should I do with my carbon? The resounding answer would be what? Nothing. We'll see what to do with it. But one thing is clear, which is you're not offering it up on the Mizbeach. What happens if you did put it on the Mizbeach? So Rabbi says, take it down. Rav Yosef says, leave it alone. We wanted to think that maybe Rav Yosef aligns himself with Rav Shimon, to which no, Rav Shimon is dealing with a very nuanced case over where you messed up in a detail of the blood placement. That's what Rav Shimon says. In that case, if you put the limbs on the Mizbeach, you could leave it there. But it could very well be in this case where you shechted it in the south. Once you shechted it in the south, we're done. We're done over here. And even Rav Shimon would agree that if you put those limbs on the Mizbeach, take them down. Next, Tnan. Kodshe Kadosh. So also the Gemara goes right. We're not finished. This Machlokis goes on. Kodshe Kadosh and Sheshachtan Madara Molin Bohen. So I'll say, so what did the Mishnah say? That Allah Lamaisa, if you shecht Kodshe Kadosh in the south, if you shecht it in the south, it is subject to Me'ila. Bishlam al Rav Yosef Necha. So what's the current Rav Yosef? This makes sense. Right, Rav Yosef, this makes sense. Why? Because we'll say when you say that it's subject to Me'ilah, it ultimately means that while Tera Lacha Lamaisa, it's still a sacrificial sanctity. Look at Rashi, Bishlam Rav Yosef, second wide line in Rashi, Bishlam Rav Yosef, the Amar im Alu Lo Yerdu, Hoil Velo Yerdu Mikdushasan Mishum Hachi Molimer. So let's listen to this. So the Mishnah says that what if I go ahead and I shecht in the south, Kachik Adashim in the south, which of course is wrong. Shabbos said, nevertheless, what does the Mishnah say? The carbon is still subject to Me'ilah. Still being subject to Me'ilah means what? Means what? That it retains sacrificial sanctity, even though it was shechted in the wrong place. So this seems to support the position of Rav Yosef, who holds that if you took these limbs and you put it on a Mizbeach, right, you don't take them down. Right? Why? Because they still retain some level of their sanctity. El Rabba Kasha. But according to Rabba, who says that if you put the limbs on the Mizbeach, you have to take them down, why, Rabba say, would the Harban shechted in the south be subject to Me'ilah? Well, see, you hear the Shaila? If you're telling me, so let's just analyze this, okay? Simple case. I shechted in the south. Illegal. Should it be shechted where? Should it be shechted where? In the north. Senator Rabos, I say, now watch this. So let's fast forward a little bit. I now put the limbs of this carbon on the Mizbeach. What do I do? I made a mistake. Or I didn't touch it. I didn't know the halacha. So what do I do? Rabbi says, take them down. Rabbi Yosef says, leave them on. Now we'll say, okay, so that's the machlokas. Now what are they really arguing about? It would appear that Rabbi Yosef holds the animal still has some level of kedusha. Therefore, again, although you shouldn't have put the limbs there, if you did, leave them alone. Rabbi seems to say what? This is not a carbon. So because it's not a carbon, therefore what? Get those limbs off the Mizbeach. Right? So Rabbi says, now here's the problem. Where, how did the Mishnah Paskin in this case, where you shechted in the south, even though you should have shechted in the north, what did the Mishnah say? Subject to Me'ilah. Subject to Me'ilah means what? It has carbonic identity. Carbonic identity, then if you put the limbs on the Mizbeach, what should be the halacha? You should be able to leave it. Good. Which is a support, ultimately, again, for Rav Yosef, and a kasha on Rabbah. To which the Gemara says, Rabbah says, no, it's not a kasha, I'll tell you, I will say, and here's where it gets crazy. My molin bahen, because now the Gemara kind of derails what we thought the Mishnah was saying. My molin, what does it mean when we say that it's subject to Me'ilah? Midirabanan. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. The Mishnah, when it says that it's subject to Me'ilah, does not mean Me'ilah d'oraisa, but instead means Me'ilah d'rabanan. Look at Rashi. My molin, midirabanan. This is Rabbah's interpretation. Rabbah will say, when the Mishnah says that these cases, all of these cases, that they're subject to Mi'ilah, no, not Mi'ilah Daraisa, Mi'ilah Dirabanan. And therefore Rabbah says, the Mishnah doesn't say it, but I'll tell you, that if you accidentally put those limbs on the Mizbeach, then what? Take them down. What is it? Which says such to Me'ilah? Such to Me'ilah Midirabanan. Incredible. Ma'ika Bein Daraisa Dirabanan. So we'll say, so by the way, well, welcome to Me'ilah Dirabanan. We haven't heard of that before. Right? But now the Gemara says, okay, tell me a little bit about Me'ilah Dirabanan. Right? What is Me'ilah Dirabanan? So Ma'ika Bein Daraisa Dirabanan. I'll tell you, Midaraisa Mishalmin Chomesh Dirabanan Lo. Simple distinction of Osei is that in biblical Me'ilah, you're paying keren, right? You're going to pay the principal plus the penalty fifth. Apparently in Me'ilah Dirabanan, you have to pay back principal, but you are not obligated to pay back the fifth. That's the fundamental distinction. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Mm-hmm. Me'ilah Dirabanan, Rashi says, Mishalim keren velo chomesh, mishum de chomesh mipnei ayil asha maisilei. So we'll say, is we're going to see that one-fifth penalty payment is actually really connected to the carbon, to the El Asham. And since, of course, by Me'ilah Dirabanan, you're not bringing a carbon, once you're not bringing the carbon, you're also not bringing the penalty fifth. Ubi Dirabanan leka carbon, tahavi kemevi chudun la'azara, hilchach lo ma'isi nami chomesh, aval Me'ilah Dirabanan, so obviously for rabbinic Me'ilah, you're not going to bring a carbon, because you can't bring a carbon for a rabbinic infraction, right? Because that'd be like chudun la'azara. So therefore, the distinction between Me'ilah Dirabanan and Me'ilah Dirabanan is the fifth. Now, it's really the fifth and the carbon, but we don't even get into the carbon, because it's obviously you're not bringing a carbon for rabbinic Me'ilah. But Daraisa, you have to pay principal plus the fifth, parentheses, and the carbon. Ultimately, again, Rabbanan, only principal, not the fifth. Umi'ikam ilim d'Rabbanan. So he says, what? This is like incredible. We've heard of such a thing like this. Mamish Chanukah came early. Umi'ikam ilim d'Rabbanan. We'll say, is there such a thing like Me'ilah d'Rabbanan? Is there such a thing like this? Who ever heard of such a thing like this? In Dharma Ulu Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kadshim Shemesu, Yatsu Midei Me'ilah Devar Torah. Yes, because we'll listen to the following statement. Bless you. If you have Kadshim, a carbon that died, ultimately, again, it is no longer subject to Me'ilah. Right? So we'll say, now, if you look at the Lashon over here, the Lashon is what Rabbi Yochanan says, Kadshim Shemesu, Yatsu Midei Me'ilah what? Devar Torah. Tvarat Rabos, that means what? Midaraisa. Alma midaraisa lo islahon bidrabanan isbahon. So say from the wording over here, you see that since it says it's not subject to Mi'ila Dvar Torah means it's not subject to Mi'ila midaraisa, which sounds like there is Mi'ila Dirabanan. Hachanami, Hachanami midrabanan. So ultimately, you know, we'll say therefore again it would appear that here also there is a din Mi'ila midrabanan, not midaraisa. So Leima Tanina Lahadu'ula. So we'll say, so say that ultimately again we have a support to that which Ula said. Leima, I'm sorry. Leima Tanina Lahadu'ula, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Afagab de Tanina. So we'll say, so now what the Gemara asks is as follows. And we'll say, we're going to stop over here for today. We're going to pick up with Leima Tanina Lahadu'ula. We'll say, I just want to make a suggestion, because again, tomorrow is a shorter daf, so we'll be fine even starting over here. As you can see, this Gemara, as much as it's Kachim, has beautiful Shak Levitaria. Sometimes one of the hardest things about Daf Yomi is the pace that we have to go in. We have to move at a fast pace, and it's an incredible amount of information to retain. So we'll say, Chazara is an incredibly powerful thing. If you spend a couple of minutes, you don't need more than 15, 20 minutes to chazar this particular daf, just to go through. It's not complicated. Baruch Hashem, we're not dealing with deep esoteric concepts. 15, 20 minutes in the evening to go, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, to just chazar over the concept so you have the shak levitalia are clear. I will say it allows for retention and ultimately, again, allows us to build on the next step also. So again, we're always looking to grow. Remember, when you start a new mesech, that's not just I'm starting a new gemara, and now after there's something new I'm taking on as well. Even if I haven't been so good in my chazara in Daf Yomi now, I will say even if you don't chazar the whole blot, but even if you just chazar one amid, just to be able to retain a bit more, it'll enhance your appreciation of the Masech. All right, folks, we'll stop here. We'll pick up Lema HaTanina and Mir Tesham tomorrow. Tony, you got a promotion. You have to hit the thing there.